Lecture 17, The Roman Republic, Government and Politics.
Hello again, and welcome to our series of lectures on foundations of Western civilization. This will be lecture number 17, and we're going to talk about the government and institutions of the Roman Republic. Now, you may recall that last time we put the Romans on the map, quite literally. We talked a little about the geography of Italy. We talked about who the Romans were, the early Romans. We talked about their neighbors, the Etruscans, the Greeks to the south, and so on. And we talked about the rather intense political and social turmoil that marked the first couple of centuries of the history of the Roman people, and how one result of that turmoil was a situation where social and economic distinctions were to some degree effaced so that all Romans could participate pretty much fully and equally in Roman political life. What we want to turn to today, then, is the kind of government they created. And we want to talk a little bit about how that government actually worked, what the institutions were, what the officers were. We want to talk a little bit about the social values that underlay that government. And finally, we'll reflect a little on that government through the eyes of the Greek historian Polybius. Now, much that we say towards the end of this lecture will seem very familiar because Thomas Jefferson knew Polybius. And some of Polybius's ideas were writ right into the American Constitution. Now, the Roman government, like others, was partly institutions, was partly ideologies, fundamental governing underlying ideas. It was fundamentally social practices that evolved, that changed over time. And it was fundamentally the product of historical experience. The Romans liked to think of themselves as being sort of sturdy, stable, and unchanging. In fact, as we'll see in this and in subsequent lectures, things changed a good deal. One of the things that's particularly interesting to us about the Roman government is because of the nature of the information that survives the sources, we know a great deal about it. We know far more about the Romans than we do, for example, about the Greeks or indeed about any of the peoples whom we discussed in the ancient Near East or the Egyptians, for example. All right, then, the Roman Constitution in the first place, then something about Roman society, then something about ideologies. The Roman Constitution was in the first place led by a series of magistrates. Now, when we talk about the magistrates of the Roman Republic, there's two principles that we need to keep in mind. The first of these is collegiality. They worked as a college of officers, as a group of men, they were all men, bound together and in some ways required to cooperate with each other to facilitate one another's work. We'll see some concrete examples of that in just a second. In the second place, annuality. They were elected every year. All of the Roman magistrates, with one exception, one peculiar exception that we'll describe in a few minutes, all of the Roman magistrates were elected annually. Now, we have elections sort of every 4 years or maybe local elections every 2 years. Imagine the Romans, an election every year. The highest magistrate of the Roman Republic was the consul. The consul. Of these, there were two. They were elected annually. They convened the Roman voting assemblies. That was one of their primary responsibilities. We'll talk about those voting assemblies in a few minutes. They led the Roman army. And ex-consuls automatically entered the Roman Senate. We'll talk about the Roman Senate in a few moments. But for the moment, let's just say the consuls are the chief executive officers of the Roman state. Next, there were the praetors. The praetors were the judicial officers of the Roman state. Originally, there were two of these. As Rome got larger, as its business grew more complicated, the number of praetors eventually expanded to as many as eight. They presided in the courts. This was their fundamental day-in and day-out responsibility. They presided in the Roman courts. They weren't exactly judges in our sense of the term, but we might think of them by analogy to judges. Perhaps in the long term, historically the most important thing about the praetors is that on taking office each year, they issued a praetor's edict. Now, this would be a basic statement of what their priorities would be, what their goals would be, what the essential things that they would work on during their year in office would be. But those praetor's edicts gradually added together and built up the body of Roman law. This is really a fundamental source for Roman law. Like the consuls, the praetors entered the Senate on conclusion of their year in office. Next, there were officials called quaestors. Now, the quaestors were essentially the financial officers of the Roman state. They received taxes. They received fines when persons were fined, for example, in courts of law. They received tributes paid to the Romans by peoples whom they had conquered.